Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Pope Francis stunned survivors of sexual abuse yesterday in Chile. On the last day of his trip to the country, Francis defended a Chilean bishop, saying, quote, "The day they bring me proof against Bishop Barros, I'll speak. There is not one shred of proof against him. It's all calumny. Is that clear?" Chilean sexual abuse victims claim that Bishop Juan Barros covered up abuse by Father Fernando Caradima. In 2011, Caradima was convicted by the Vatican of abusing teenage boys beginning in the 1980s, and he was ordered to lead a, quote, life of prayer and penitence. A criminal case against him was dropped. Now, Bishop Barros continuously claimed he never saw the abuse and never participated in any cover-up. But joining us now is Anne Barrett Doyle, co-director of bishopaccountability.org, a Boston-based group that maintains a database of clergy sexual abuse cases. She was in Chile for the Pope's visit. She joins us today from Lima, Peru. Anne, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me, Meghna.
Well, what's your reaction to the Pope's very strong words calling accusations against Barros calumny?
It's devastating. It's a devastating setback. This papacy was going to be about restoring trust. The Pope has said repeatedly that he weeps for victims, that he's going to hold bishops accountable. But we knew all along that those were scripted remarks, and unfortunately, he has just turned back the clock to the darkest hours of the clergy abuse crisis. The church has, you know, years of blaming victims. And that's what the Pope did in Chile. It was absolutely stunning, the disappointment.
I'm seeing here that he began his trip, though, with an apology to Chilean survivors of sexual abuse. But even there, it was somewhat complicated because he said, "I feel bound to express my pain and shame at the irreparable damage caused to children by some ministers of the church. I am one with my brother bishops, though.
Yes.
For it is right to ask for forgiveness and make every effort to support victims, even as we commit ourselves to ensuring that such things do not happen again." How do you read that?
Well, that he was signaling right from the beginning that he was one with his brother bishops. The big issue in Chile, these are informed and weary people. They so want their church leaders held accountable. They have been thoroughly educated by the Caradima survivors that the bishops have been complicit. They see bishops down there openly reinstating priests who've been found guilty either under church law or civil law. I mean, zero tolerance does not exist in the Chilean church. And this was such a test for Pope Francis, such an opportunity, and he absolutely failed,
right.
Resoundingly.
You know, of course, I can't read the Pope's mind, but of course I am mindful of the fact that he's from Argentina, right? Right next door.
Yes.
I mean, is there a particular resonance, a complexity that this takes on with Pope Francis, given the fact that he himself is South American?
Well, it seems it smacks of a stereotype of the autocratic and arrogant South American bishops of old. When the Pope was an archbishop in Argentina, he refused to meet with victims. That is a matter of public record. And in the one case where he intervened, you know, while bishops in Europe and the U.S. were apologizing and meeting with victims, he in Argentina, in as late as 2009, 2010, sided with a convicted predator priest, somebody who'd been convicted for child molestation. That's who this Pope was. We thought the papacy might change him. It doesn't seem to have done that.
Mm. Now, your group, Bishop Accountability, has published a database of 80 or so clergy members in Chile who have been accused
right.
of sexually abusing minors. And in some documentation along with that database, Bishop Accountability says that the grouping reveals the distinctive aspects of the Catholic abuse crisis in Chile and the degree to which it remains hidden. So can you talk to me a little bit about what do you mean by distinctive aspects?
What's distinctive is that the openness, the brazenness with which Chile's bishops and religious superiors reinstate guilty priests. Here in the U.S., there actually is a zero-tolerance law that the U.S. bishops really forced the Vatican to let them adopt in 2002 because the pressure there, that was, you know, after the Globe Spotlight investigation or as it was ongoing, and the pressure was overwhelming on the U.S. church. They were scrambling. But that is not a law outside the United States. Inside, you know, what I mean is it's not a church law outside the United States. So here in Chile, I mean, the people are as sophisticated as the people in the U.S. when it comes to this issue, but they see their bishops flouting this zero tolerance standard. And what makes it worse is that Pope Francis repeatedly has promised that zero tolerance is, you know, what he stands for.
And we've just got a few seconds here, but I want to sneak in one more question to you. Kevin Cullen in The Globe just yesterday wrote that, quote, "Let the record show that the promise of Pope Francis died in Santiago, Chile on January 18th. Do you agree with that?
I think so. I think there is almost, this Pope has lost all credibility on this issue. Of course, if he takes some decisive action and starts removing some of the many complicit bishops in the church, he could regain it, but that absolutely is not going to happen. I think what it means, Meghna, is that the accountability has to come from outside the church.
Well, Anne Barrett Doyle is co-director of Bishop Accountability, a Boston-based group that maintains a database of clergy sexual abuse cases. She's speaking to us today from Lima, Peru. Anne, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We'll be back in a moment. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.